motion for me. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Moving slow motion for me.
Hey, very good Monday afternoon, everybody. Welcome here to the Hawk and Crowder Show. Like, what are we going to call us? The substitute teachers in this week as Hawk and Crowder both on vacation. Greg Likens, Troy Stratford in the next couple of days as can't wait as we've got so much to get into, Troy. It's not like it's a quiet time in the world of sports.
Yes.
It has been an absolutely seismic weekend in terms of the NBA. The Miami Heat very much in the mix for perhaps yet another superstar, as you just heard there in the update. So we got a lot to get into. Of course, we'll take you up until 6 o'clock. Alex Solano with us as well. Troy, it's great to be with you, man.
Always a good thing.
How's everything
good
been
time.
With you?
Everything is actually well, like us. Can't complain.
Good.
It's been a couple times I've been in here when, you know, it was all right.
Yeah, I know.
It was kind of bad, but
sometimes,
right now it's all right.
Sometimes when I ask that question, it's a bit of a throwaway. We'll start the show. Hey, what's going on? But with you, I know you're going to be candid one way or the other.
Yeah. So things are good.
Good to hear. Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. And I'm glad that you and I are back together here in the radio studio. And with that being said, you know, I think a lot of people probably took the long weekend off, right? So maybe last Wednesday is when they were back at work, and then they had 4th of July, Friday off, Saturday, Sunday. And so if you're just getting back into the swing of things, first things first, Solana just mentioned it. You and I as well had to drive here, right?
Yes.
We don't live around the station necessarily, and it is brutal outside. So
and
anybody
when I left home, it was not raining.
Right. So you and I both came from Broward.
Correct. Well, yeah.
Or north of here, at least, because we're in Miami Gardens or thereabouts. And so, yeah, we came, coming from that, from north and coming south, it is brutal.
Brutal outside.
Like, it is raining as hard as I can remember it raining while I was driving.
And it does not look like it's going to let up anytime soon.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, just kind of a PSA to everybody out there, please be safe.
Yes.
You made a comment to me. You said that inevitably you're going to have some jerk who still drives the same speed, if not faster, even in the perilous conditions. Did you experience that when you were driving here?
I did not experience that coming here, but you see it all the time. Someone has a vehicle or I'm going to say young. I'm not going to say someone that's kind of up there in age. They kind of know the risks that are out there. Young person, they still want to fly and, you know. Damn, I just, now I'm sounding old.
I know, I see we're starting the millennial, the millennial hit early with Troy Stratford.
Right. I don't, for some reason, you started saying that. It's a lot of perked up. So I feel like he's guilty because
last time
that,
we
right?
were on, we had that whole millennial, you know.
Yes, that whole back
that
and
thing.
Forth.
So.
Well, you either get that on the roads or you get the numbskulls who put their emergency lights on, like the blinkers on, which is illegal. And that happened just down the street. Here.
How come everyone doesn't have that message by now?
I mean,
it's on the billboards.
It's on all the billboards. I don't know if there's a language barrier. Certainly, you know, there's people speak different languages here in South Florida more than other places. Maybe they don't know or they can't read it. I don't know, right? Or they just don't pay attention.
I don't know,
right? I mean, listen.
I never thought it.
I can say that because, like, yesterday we had a bunch of people over to our place. So it was my future mother-in-law's birthday. And
they don't speak English.
A lot of them don't. So for me, it's a lot of hola.
So they got their flashes on, right?
Yeah, hola, ¿cómo estás? Muy bien. And then that's about it. Then I said adios at the end of the night. Yeah, and thank God there's the Copa America soccer on in the afternoon, and we can all bond over that. But, yeah, I mean.
Speaking of soccer, huh? I know we're going to get to it, but.
Well, okay, so we have so much to talk about today because, Troy, you know, if we go chronologically, we had literally an earthquake interrupt the Summer League on Friday night, and then more seismic activity like 2 hours later when Kawhi Leonard, without actually making an announcement through reports, made his announcement, right, probably in true Kawhi Leonard fashion. And it wasn't just that Kawhi Leonard chose the Clippers. It was that minutes later, we also found out that he had recruited Paul George, and the Thunder traded Paul George to the Clippers as well, and that's a new partnership. Also this weekend, KZ Akpala became official member of the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler and Myers Leonard became official members of the Miami Heat. We had, as you just referenced, the U.S. women win the World Cup.
Yes.
We had the Copa America final. We had the Gold Cup final last night. And we also, over the course of all of this, had more rumors circulating around the Heat in the mix potentially for another superstar, Russell Westbrook. So where do you want to start?
I mean, wherever you want to go.
We have an overabundance of things to talk about. I think most people are probably, intrigued and most interested by the Russell Westbrook situation here. And Troy, so let's start there, because as Solana mentioned in his update, Shams from The Athletic, he says this: based on conversations among player, agent, and team, Oklahoma City for the first time is receptive toward trade calls on franchise star Russell Westbrook. League sources tell Watch ESPN and The Athletic. He goes on to say this is based upon relationships on all sides. Russell Westbrook, agent Thad Fouché, and GM Sam Presti, and collaborating together and examining alternative solutions. Trade timing is challenging this late in the summer due to salaries frozen across NBA from free agent deals. So all that being said, not only has Shams reported this, but you know, Adrian Wojnarowski insinuated this as well. However, this is kind of advancing the story a little bit, because all Woj had mentioned over the weekend was that Russell Westbrook and his agent would at least speak to Sam Presti, but nothing definitive about whether they're going to ask for a trade. Now this...
Oh, he's asking for a trade.
This seems to be expediting things. For those who don't know, Jeremy Grant was traded earlier today by the Thunder to the Denver Nuggets. So that's Paul George, Jeremy Grant, and now maybe Russell Westbrook. You know, it's funny, Troy. I've seen a lot of debate on social media. I've been on the radio the last couple of days, and it seems like not everybody in the Heat fan base is on board with the idea of getting Russell Westbrook. Where do you stand? If the Heat have a chance to get Russell Westbrook...
You go get Westbrook.
You don't care what it takes.
You go get him. He's like a rare player. I don't care if you like his style or not. He's a guy that he sells tickets. He's going to give you a 100% effort every single night. He's going to put pressure against the team that they're playing against. You pair him with Butler, all of a sudden you have two dynamic players who can actually score the bucket. You have to go do it. Like, there's no one, because I've been on social media last couple of days, and I see people saying, no, I'm not getting rid of Bam or Hero and all.
Justice Winslow.
And I'm sitting here saying, stop. Like, stop. Are there other teams around the league saying, ooh, I got to have Bam? No. I'm sorry, and I'm not disrespecting him at all, but I'm just sitting there saying, if you are a fan of another team out there, are you sitting there saying, oh, I got to have Justice Winslow? Are you saying that? And the question, or the answer, is no. There is no one on this Heat team that equals what Westbrook brings to the table. You make the deal. You go get that.
But with that being said,
a
combination of players, because you know, you look at his contract, he's due $170 million over the next 4 years. So it's the first year of the deal that you're inheriting is $38.7 million. So if you're the Miami Heat, you've got to put together a trade which includes a lot of these guys. And so the question then would become, are you stripping down the roster too much, or are you not concerned with that?
I'm not concerned. See, I'm not the GM. It's not my job.
No, I know. You wouldn't be sitting here next to me.
Newsflash. Newsflash. I'm not the GM. I'm not the money person. I'm not the cap guy. And whenever I'm talking sports, I'm like, that's not my job. That's not my issue. They hire someone, they pay someone to figure out the numbers. And one thing that we've learned from what has happened with the NBA over the last week is the fact that not one expert, so-called expert, who actually put their take out there, because I was wrong, where guys were going.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. I'm sure we will. Yeah. Where people are going, changing teams, and no one has even come close. It's people who are involved with the organization, who get paid to put the numbers together. And all of a sudden, like, here come the Miami Heat, right? No cap space for a year and a half now. Everyone on Sports Talk Radio down here locally, they talk about the Miami Heat and the bad contracts that they have, and they really can't do anything. They're gearing up for the next season. And then all of a sudden, here they are, they're paying Butler, what, $140 million? How'd they do that? They have someone that gets paid a pretty good salary, Likens. It's their job to figure that out. They go up, they knock on the door, they say, this is what we want, this is what we're thinking about, how can we make it happen? And it's their job to make it happen. So when it comes to the money, I don't worry about that.
No, you don't worry about it. Andy Ellisberg is the guy who's their capologist, and technically he's their general manager.
How'd you know that?
Well, I mean, he's been around the franchise for a long time. And
But off the top of your head, Pat Riley, we don't have internet in here right now. Riley, you can't look that up.
Come on, Troy. It's Andy. It's Big Andy.
Well, Big Andy?
Big Andy. You know Big Andy.
Rather large guy.
With the
glasses.
He's
the capologist?
He's the guy who made the LeBron deal work. He's the guy that really... Gets down
glasses?
And dirty. And
he's the real MVP.
I met him.
Yeah, he's the real MVP.
I met him.
See, you know him. Yeah.
Yes, I do know him. I never knew his name.
Big Andy. You know Big Andy.
Yes, I know Big Andy.
As opposed
I don't
to
know
Crazy
if he goes
Andy.
By Big Andy.
Crazy Andy's not
I don't
the
know
MVP.
If he goes by.
He might get you a good deal, though. A crazy deal.
But I used to go to the Heat games when they were born. You know, first season. Used to go all the time. I was playing with the Dolphins back then. And he, like an Eric Spoelstra, started his way on the bottom and worked his way up. So I remember when he was doing little gopher things way back then. Mm-hmm. So that's the Miami Heat's way. And that's part of the reason why they talk about Butler being here as a member of the Miami Heat. He likes the structure, how the organization runs itself, what they stand for. And it's nice that your reputation will bring certain people. Some people, they're just not cut from that cloth and they can't play Miami Heat basketball and the way they want to do it, but you know, it's pretty nice.
Well, okay, here's the thing, Slot. I want to get your input on this too, because he's a diehard Heat fan. He's got season tickets forever. My takeaway on all of this with the possibility of Westbrook is, first things first, like, just do it, right? Get the collection of talent. That's what Pat Riley has been known for.
Right.
Like, you get as much top-end talent as possible and you make it work. The only thing I would say is that Jimmy Butler went out on a limb. And he decided, I'm going to leave $50 million on the table in Philadelphia and a better chance to win in the short term in Philadelphia to join the Heat. I want to be a member of the Miami Heat. I want to be part of the culture. I want to follow Dwayne Wade here. And he technically is your new alpha. And
yes.
So I think this really comes down to whether he can coexist with Russell Westbrook. And so I think it's a candid conversation. Hey, Jimmy. We're going to add more pieces. We told you the plan. And whether it's this offseason, it's next offseason, the offseason after that, who would you prefer to be with? And if it's Russell Westbrook, then there's no doubt in my mind they can get this deal done. But
yes.
Salada, like, to me, if Jimmy Butler says, I'd rather be with Bradley Beal, then that would be the only thing that would, at least if I'm in the Heat front office, say, you know what, maybe we take a step back from all this Westbrook drama.
Interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I see the two sides of the argument, right? You see the one side where Troy's saying, do it. Like, Winslow, Bam, they're not making you title contenders this year. You have the chance to go get your second whale. Just do it. You'll
right.
figure out the money when time comes. You'll figure out 2021 when the time comes. The Heat basically figured it out this year, right? So it shows that you can figure things out and move
yes.
pieces and make things work. However, I also see the argument on the other side that a lot of Heat fans on Twitter are expressing, which is, we saw what Russell Westbrook did last year with Paul George, who you could make the argument, I think most people would agree, is better than Jimmy Butler overall.
He
right?
was one of the three finalists for MVP,
right.
So I think that's safe.
So,
yeah.
So if you already saw what Russell Westbrook did with Paul George, who's better than Jimmy Butler, and probably a better team with Steven Adams on that team as well, then, like, really, what's your ceiling with Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook for the next 2 years? Like,
okay,
right?
I give you that argument.
Right? Like, especially if you're trading away your next best assets, which would be a combination of like a Hero, a Bam, a Wins. Like, it'd probably be two of those three.
Right.
That's what we're hearing. We don't know for sure. Again, it's speculation. So I see both sides of the argument. I don't really know where I fall.
So you're a fence setter.
No, I'm not. I'm just pointing out that I understand both sides. If you're telling me right now that he can have Russell Westbrook, right? Like, this guy's averaged a triple-double basically for the last three seasons in a row.
Yes.
So if I told you, you can get a guy who's averaged a triple-double for the last three seasons in a row and pair him up with another all-star, you do it. Like, take context out of it.
Yes.
Take nuance out of it. You
yes.
go, you do it, because that's what Pat Riley does. So if you're a Heat fan and you're saying Pat Riley's not going to go get Russell Westbrook if he has the chance, you're out of your mind.
You're
like,
out
you
of
haven't
your mind.
Been paying attention to his track record.
And I didn't think of it the way that Likens put it out there, that they're going to sit down and they're going to talk to Butler as well and get his input, because they just made him the face of the franchise. And, you know, me coming from the football world, I forget that the NBA basketball world is totally different. Like, players really have say. Football players don't have that kind of power say
no.
of who they want to play with, what they want to do. It's just too many guys, and it just doesn't work that way. But in the NBA, you absolutely have to sit down with Butler and say, which piece do you think that would fit better with you? Because all the reports are that Kawhi sat down, you know, he's getting ready to meet with the Lakers. He sits down, all of a sudden, he's having lunch or whatever with Paul George, and he's, we need to get together. And it happened. So NBA players, they definitely have more say in what goes on. So I think that even though Pat Riley is the man and Spoelstra is there, he's the man, they have to sit him down, I'm assuming, and say, can you work with him? Because a lot of people think of, correct me if I'm wrong, they look at Westbrook a lot like James Harden. I don't. Like, James Harden is a ball hog. Ball hog. I think that Westbrook gets most of his points, or he has the ball a lot, in transition. I think when the game slows down a little bit and they're in half court, he gives it up a little bit. I just think that his athletic ability, and I know people have been talking about his age the last couple of hours, he's getting up there in age and he's not going to be able to adapt. We don't know that, but I think the two of them could definitely coexist together. I do.
Well, and to respond to what Solana said about, you know, Westbrook and Paul George not really achieving much of significance in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City, I do think there's a stark difference between the West and the East.
Yeah.
So, like, especially now that Kawhi left, and really, you know, Kawhi leaving is the domino effect that started all this, right? I mean, that was the first thing, because he was the one who recruited Paul George. Paul George is in Oklahoma City right now. We're not talking about Russell Westbrook even being available.
Right.
And so, you know, that's part of it. Like, right now the Toronto Raptors have a nice team, but I don't think any of us think they're going to win another title without Kawhi Leonard, obviously. No. And so, you know, if you're at the Heat right now, this is ample opportunity to pounce while the iron is hot. So I can't wait to see what happens and how quickly this potentially transpires. Troy, we're going to come back. We'll talk more about it. You just hit on something, too, about, and if it wasn't clear before, it became crystal clear this weekend, player empowerment in the NBA has never been a larger theme in the NBA. It just hasn't.
I got to add to that also when we come back.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, we're getting a lot of people texting in. People are fired up both ways.
Already?
Pro Westbrook or against Westbrook. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. Stay tuned. Much more to get to here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford filling in for Hawk and Crowder. Hope everybody's doing well. Had a nice 4th of July weekend.
What'd you do?
Alex Solana with us as well. You know, I don't want to be that guy because it sounds kind of bad, but you know, I'm not complaining. I was happy doing it, but I worked the entire weekend. So I was here 4th of July, here the next day, and then I was at our sister station Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So I have been fully immersed in all of the free agency talk.
And no one brought you any, like, barbecue, anything like that? No loyal listener out there said, hey, let me go hook up Likens?
No. But I wouldn't be opposed to that. I will say this. On 4th of July, after I got done working, we had some people over, had a good time. And then yesterday we had a family gathering as well. So it wasn't all work. So listen, I'm talking sports, got a little, you know, few get-togethers over the weekend. It was good. How about you? You do anything? You set off some fireworks or anything on 4th of July?
No, I'm not a big fireworks guy. And throughout the day, I didn't really do much. And I hate to say this. I really hate to say this. I think I fell asleep around 8:30, 9 o'clock on the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July.
And nothing woke me up. Like, I didn't hear any fireworks after that period. Mm. So it was a good sleep.
You were out.
Unfortunately, I was up at, like, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm. Now, was that because you had to be up, or you'd got enough sleep?
I don't remember. Like,
you just woke up at middle of the night.
I just get up early now.
Yeah. You're an early riser. I give you credit, man.
Yeah, I get up pretty early.
Because I used to work the morning.
That's what happens when you get a little bit older. You get up early.
Okay. Well, I used to work the morning show for a number of years with Joe Rose. And, you know, I don't think you ever truly get used to that shift. I mean,
like, the weekend came when you didn't have to work, but your body still woke you up, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
sometimes, although it really wasn't hard to catch up on sleep on the weekend, I'll be honest with you. Because, yeah, I don't think it's all that healthy. But anyway, I did that on Thursday and Friday, and I was like, man, this is – I'm glad I don't have to do this anymore. But yeah. You seem to thrive waking up early.
I'm up early.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Solana, do you have anything fun for 4th of July? I know I saw you on 4th of July, so – I heard part of your show. That was fun, but anything else?
After the show, a little barbecue with the family, and then I went to go watch live soccer. Live football match. Now, two South American teams from Uruguay, where I'm from. Uh-huh. So that's what I did.
Where was that taking place?
At FAU Stadium.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That stadium's nice.
Very nice.
Yeah. Although I'd recommend getting there very, very early if you want to see the U.S. men's national team play. Because I tried to go see the U.S. men's national team play a few years ago now. And it took forever just to get into the stadium. Once you got up to Boca, I mean, it was just a mess. It was like the surrounding roads were a parking lot trying to get into that place.
Yeah, well, there might have been like 600 people at this game. So, okay. Yeah.
No issues. Yeah, because like I when I went up to that match, Josie Altidore scored the game's only goal, and I missed it. And it was cool because, like, he's from Boca. I think, you know, his family's Haitian, but he grew up in Boca, trained up there and all, everything. So it was, like, a great homecoming. And we got there for the match. We missed the goal. And, you know, he obviously finished in that match much better than he did last night.
Could have used a goal last night.
Oh, my Josie gosh. Altidore. I don't know if you saw last night.
I did not watch last night because I was soccered out at that point. Or should I say football?
Yes.
Out.
You told me. Now, we don't want to sway off subject too much here because we'll talk more soccer in the U.S. Women's World Cup. But you actually watched the Women's World Cup. I'm very proud of Troy.
All of it. It was appointment watching.
I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Yes. I thought of you at the time. Like,
all right.
I'm like, you know, I'm going to do a little radio with Likens tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm sure he knows all of the names of all of the players. And I said, plus, you know, there were some. We won't get into it right now, but there was some extra things going on with the whole women's team. So when we do talk about that, yeah, I might upset some people.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a tease if I ever heard it right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we were talking about before the break is Russell Westbrook, the possibility of the Heat landing him. But even more so, I want to read to you an excerpt from Ramona Shelburne's article from ESPN.com. So she actually... It's fascinating because she documents kind of what happened behind the scenes to get Kawhi Leonard to recruit Paul George. And she actually writes in here that Kevin Durant was his first call and that Durant was flattered that Kawhi Leonard was trying to recruit him. But ultimately, Durant decided to go with Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets, as we all know. And then Paul George got the phone call and the two of them kind of going back and forth. And a source close to George said this, quote, "For a quiet guy, he's a hell of a recruiter," in reference to Kawhi Leonard. Now, she wrote, "George felt like this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play at home in L.A. alongside a generational talent like Leonard. So in the middle of the week, he went to Oklahoma City general manager Sam Presti and asked for a trade to the Clippers." She goes on to write a little later, and I thought this summed it up perfectly. "Superstar players in the modern NBA have tremendous power. Contracts don't really matter. Leonard forced his way from San Antonio with a year remaining on his deal. Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans with a year and a half left. Yep. George forced his way out of Indiana with a year left. Jimmy Butler forced his way out of Minnesota with a year left. Kyrie Irving forced his way out of Cleveland with 2 years left."
Yes.
All of these guys.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You know, there is so much exuberance and joy expressed by a fan base, by an organization, when a player decides to sign or re-sign, depending on the scenario. But ultimately, what we're learning very quickly here, those are just some great examples just the last couple of years, that those contracts don't matter if the players don't want to be there.
It's someone's job to make the money work, the dollars work, and they will do that. That's why they're in that position. And so when it comes to sports talk radio down here in South Florida, again, don't ever talk about, NBA-wise. You can go to football as well. Oh, the team is strapped. They don't have money. Like, I never, ever said that's a problem. If they want to work it out, they will work it out. It's someone's job to work it out. And trust me, if Pat Riley knocks on that door and he says, this is what we need to do or we want to do, as long as, you know, the players who have that control, they're willing to buy into that, you make it happen. Paul George comes in. After landing him last year to stay in Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma City, they're like, we got him locked up. He's not going anywhere now. He's under contract. He knocks on the door all of a sudden. Hey, we need to talk. You know, I just met with Kawhi. He wants me in L.A. with the Clippers. Make that happen, please. Okay. We don't want that to happen.
Brutal do you think that was for Sam Presti, the general manager, to hear? Because, like you're referencing, like a year ago at this time, Paul George not only shocked everybody by not taking any other meetings, but he said, hey, I want to be here with Oklahoma City. I want to be here with Russell Westbrook. And he announced it when at Westbrook's house at this party they had. They had like some hip-hop stars there. There's a bunch of people. And they're all like just overjoyed at the fact that Paul George had like a one-year recruiting
yes.
mission there. And it worked. He decided he wanted to stay there. And a year later, yes. he's like, that's it. I'm done.
I think that Presti, although upset, in reality, this is just me thinking, in reality, I think he's looking at that saying, over the years of what he's had with Harden, Durant, yeah. Westbrook, he's looking at what he has now, Paul George, Westbrook. Westbrook done averaged a triple-double, has some players that fill in there, and he's looking at that and he's saying, not enough. Paul George here, Westbrook here, not enough. It's just not enough. And because he has drafted, I believe it was him, he drafted Harden, Westbrook, Durant. That's three NBA MVPs, right?
Yes.
He drafted them. He's getting all of these first-round draft picks back. And he's sitting there thinking of the ideal down the road. He's like, okay, right now, teams are stacked right now. Clippers, Lakers, whoever else you want to put in there, Warriors, they're stacked right now. Let me go take all of these first-round draft picks and build it, rebuild it. And when people, I'm not saying on the downside of the mountain, but in a couple years, if I do what I believe that I could do, which is draft talent, if I draft that talent and I put it together, who knows, 2 years, 3 years from now, we'll have a bunch of young players here. So I don't think that it really bothered him that much.
Really?
I think he believes in himself, Likens. And he's sitting there saying, I have six first-round draft picks over the next 3-4 years now. I'm going to build this. I'm going to rebuild this. I did it once. I'm going to do it again.
I hear what you're saying. Part of me, though, wonders if you're the ownership group of the Oklahoma City Thunder, do you trust Sam Presti to be the guy to do that? Now, granted, they've been over this decade-plus run where they've been relevant. They've had very good teams. But you just mentioned the three MVPs they had. We also have Serge Ibaka just won a championship
right.
with the Toronto Raptors,
who was there,
who they ultimately decided to keep him rather than James Harden. They had Victor Oladipo there.
Yes.
They've had all this talent there.
Talent.
And guess what? What do they have to show for it? One Western Conference championship.
Right.
So I understand that they built a lot of that organically. At the same time, what did they get out of it? Like, all these other teams were able to capitalize in other ways. Even
maybe the back end of that, he does it differently next time.
Well,
he doesn't let a Harden get out the door.
I know, but like, he's already, I mean, we know how difficult it is to keep that type of job
in professional sports. I'd rather have someone who could get me the talent.
I don't disagree with you.
Now I got to get someone, I don't know, maybe to coach it. I'm not knocking the coach who was in charge of all of that. But I'm sitting there saying, I believe this guy. He has shown that he could build a team. Now, you know, my memory is foggy, but what teams were he going up against back then?
Well, I mean,
he had the Spurs back then, the one time
they lost was against the Heat.
Yes.
That was LeBron's first title.
So,
and then they blew a 3-1 lead to the Golden State Warriors,
yes.
and then that led to Kevin Durant with the gutless move to then join the team that he couldn't beat.
And before Kevin Durant, everyone on that Warriors team got there via the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you got to do it. You could chase all of these stars. You can. So when it comes to the text machine and people are saying, no, I'm not giving up this guy, I'm not giving up that guy, I see that part of it. you know, I'm going to draft the right way and build this team the right way. I get that, but when a superstar comes along, sometimes you got to go get him.
I agree with you. You got to go get the superstar. So I think we're all on board with that, although Solana did lay out, he was being fair and balanced and laid out the downside of giving up.
He was fence-setting.
I was straddling it. I don't want to take a side. I'm scared to take a side. I'll be totally honest because I don't know what I want.
Well,
I don't know
okay,
what I want.
Let's be fair about this, Troy, because yes. You probably aren't aware of this, that, what was it, last Monday, a week ago today, the first segment of the program, I was sitting in for Mark Hochman, and because the Heat had played the first summer league game so far, this was out in Sacramento, Tyler Hero had a great debut, went 5-for-10 from three-point range. Duncan Robinson had played well in that game too, and Solana came on these airwaves, and he announced to anybody who was willing to listen, proclaiming the Splash Brothers of the East, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. So he seems to be that prototypical guy that does not want to give up some of the young assets on the Heat, who is too caught up in the moment, who's too close to the situation, who's like, hey, yeah, Russell Westbrook, who? We got Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson balling out in the summer league.
I think I may have also proclaimed Tyler Hero a lock as a future Hall of Famer after that one game, which, by the way, four games into summer league, that's looking like a really good prediction.
So you
on
dove
my
in
end.
The deep end.
Oh yeah,
that's why he's straddling the fence, because you know his reputation is on the line right now as a Heat fan. He has already gone way down a road with Tyler Hero. And Tyler Hero, by the way, you read into all this stuff, he has not signed his rookie deal yet. And if he signs his rookie deal,
He can't be traded.
You have to wait 30 days before you can trade him, right?
Right.
And so, like, KZ Akpala, their second-round pick, he already signed, so he's not getting traded. But right now, I don't know if it's Hero's side. It would appear to me it's the Heat say, hey, don't worry about it. We got you covered in summer league. We'll get to that contract thing when we're all ready. But that appears to me the Heat showing everybody willing to listen that they are – keeping all options available.
Open.
And
yes.
By the way, Troy,
yes.
They're giving him a lot of minutes in the games he plays. He's not playing
showcasing
every game.
Him.
Showcase time. Oh, Sam Presti, you want a young shooter? Guess what?
Yeah, he may.
Yeah, let's dangle this carrot in front of you here.
Hunting season ain't over in Miami.
I watched my first NBA Summer League game on Friday.
The first time you ever watched a Summer League game?
I may have seen bits and pieces, but like,
was this the first time you like, it was like appointment television for you?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Because you wanted to see your Knicks against the Pelicans?
Yes.
RJ Barrett against Zion Williamson?
Barrett, the better pick.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to say this. I really don't.
Well, it sounds like you're going to.
But I'm going to. Looking at those two players, and I remember the last show we did, I said, I don't mind that the Knicks didn't get the first pick, because if they got the first pick, there was no choice. You had to take Zion. And I really believe that you could build a franchise. I'm still waiting to see Barrett develop and everything, but I really believe that you could build a franchise a little bit better with his skill set. I really do. Than Zion's. And I have no idea why I think this way. I think Zion is going to be injury prone. I've been thinking that from before the draft, watching him in college, just his style of play, and first game, bangs his knee, he's out. I know it's not serious, but he's out for the rest of the summer league, and I'm sitting there saying,
are you now saying he's a bust because he got hurt in the first summer league game?
I don't want that, no.
I will say this. I will say this, Troy. You just said RJ Barrett, the better pick. If we're going to base anything off these summer league stats, which I know we shouldn't, but I do because I'm irrational when it comes to the Heat and the Knicks.
Is Hero coming up again?
Game one for RJ Barrett, 10 points, 4 of 18 shooting, 1 of 8 from 3.
Okay.
Two nights ago, 8 points, 3 of 15 shooting,
okay.
1 of 5 from 3. So he's a combined 2 and 13 from 3-point range.
Okay.
And, he's not doing too well.
He's got to find that.
He's got a little James Harden in him.
The Knicks are done.
Zion
the
only
Knicks
got points when he had dunk.
Knicks are done.
Once he's playing against the frontline players in the NBA and not the summer league, those dunks are not coming as easily. I'm not saying that they're all going away, but you look at however he shot, it was a high percentage because they were all dunks. He didn't hit one jump shot. His 3-point shot was an air ball. So he has to make that adjustment as well, just like Barrett has to make that adjustment. And I just believe that Barrett, when things are all said and done, because make no mistake about this, when they first came out, when they were entering college, Barrett was projected the number one prospect.
He was
out there. Mm-hmm. Zion just came and took it over because he's 270 pounds. He's a big guy, very great skill set.
Just because?
No. I was going down the line. Come on. So he has a good package, but I'm sitting there saying I'm the GM now. Yeah, I wasn't a GM a little while ago. I'm the GM now, and I'm looking at these two molded prospects, and I'm saying I'm taking the Barrett guy.
Just because you're a Knicks fan?
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. You're now rationalizing this pick for the Knicks because you support the
Knicks.
But
I honestly was saying this prior to the draft. I can't confirm it, but I was saying this with friends before the draft.
Okay, yeah, that's the class. Well,
listen, I wasn't upset.
We haven't seen anything yet. So, like, let's everybody slow your roll. Between you proclaiming that Zion Williamson is going to be worse than R.J. Barrett.
Not worse.
Solana's coming out here talking about the Splash Brothers of the East. You're talking about Zion's package. I don't know what's going on around here. Jeez, this is spiraled out of control here.
I think I'm making some sense here.
Let's take a timeout.
He's reading off stats to me.
They do keep stats during summer league.
You have to.
All right, we got a lot more to get into here as we continue to talk about the wild weekend that was in the NBA and in free agency. Stay tuned here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford filling in for Hawk and Crowder. Hope everybody's doing well on this Monday. Be safe out there. It was really, really raining hard when we were on our way in here. So hope everybody is getting around South Florida safely. Alex Solana with us as well. Of course, we'll take you up until 6 o'clock. Yeah, we got so many people who are chiming in on the text line. Kendall Toyota West, Kendall Toyota text line 56022 about Russell Westbrook and this possibility that he ends up in a Miami Heat uniform. For those who are unaware, I mean, I know a lot of Heat fans know what transpired over the weekend in terms of Paul George being traded, and now you've got the after effect of that with Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting / reporting over the weekend that the Russell Westbrook and the Thunder are going to have conversations and about the possibility of his future being somewhere else. And then we have Sham Sharania from The Athletic, among other places, who said just before we got on the air, like literally 5 minutes before we signed on, said, based on conversations among player, agent, and team, Oklahoma City for the first time is receptive toward trade calls on franchise star Russell Westbrook, according to league sources. Now, Troy, you have said do it. Yeah, you don't care what it takes. You have a chance to get Russell Westbrook. You go get him.
Go get him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you just
make it work.
Make it happen. Pair Westbrook
Find
and Butler
the pieces
together.
To go with that. All of a sudden, I'm not saying that they're top-tier players that are available, but all of a sudden you pair those two, all of a sudden Miami is becoming like that mini destination once again. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on around the league that has just blown us all away. And I go back to the whole LeBron decision to come down here, the big three, putting that all together. Do you remember how many people said how bad that was for the NBA and how it ruined the game? This is where it all started. And look what it has done. Some people want to give credit to the Celtics with Ray Allen and company starting it. But look where the league has come now and what it has become, how these players get together. Because, no, it's not all the GM's sell job. It's more the recruitment of player to player. Let's team up here. Let's team up there. It's the front office's job to put it all together and make it work. But I think that big three that came down here created what we're looking at now. And I think we all enjoy it. There was back then, yeah, all Miami Heat fans enjoyed it. But if you took a survey amongst fans around the NBA, most of them was like, they hated the fact that he came down here.
It was very polarizing.
Very.
Without a doubt. And I would agree with you that you could credit the big three of the Miami Heat for this new wave of player empowerment and player mobility because, you know, the Celtics, they're a good example of a quote-unquote super team, but, you know, Garnett and Ray Allen had to be traded to the Celtics. It wasn't like they were like, hey, I'm going to choose.
Let's go do this together.
Let's go do this together. It was like Danny Ainge kind of making the trades and all that other stuff. And I know Heat fans, if you want to get technical, based on the way LeBron and Chris Bosh came to Miami, technically they were traded because LeBron and Bosh agreed to come here and then, you know, just made more sense for the Heat and for the Cavs and Raptors respectively to do a sign and trade and have some assets going back. So we all understand that, but we got all sorts of people here chiming in on this. I just want to read a quick sampling. Somebody says, Butler and Westbrook on the Heat, they get to the Eastern Conference Finals with a good shot to get to the NBA Finals. Somebody else says, we tried the youth movement. You need top draft picks and stars in this league with Jimmy and Westbrook. Another says, for so many reasons, Bradley Beal is the better choice. Have patience. Another says, Heat fans are like...
He might be a piece that comes if the two of them come. And I know they don't have the money to afford them. Somehow, they will work it out.
Another says Heat fans are like Dolphins fans. They complain about being irrelevant, yet they get bent out of shape if the opportunity to enter into relevancy isn't in the form of the presentation that they prefer.
Good text.
Mm. Somebody else says Heat Nation is on Westbrook watch to the Miami Heat. Some other people are telling you that you need to take a loss on your Knicks/Zion RJ Barrett conversation and debates.
I'm not one of those. Listen. I'm a Knicks fan. I've been through a lot of misery. It's been a long time since we won anything. I'm not anxious right now. Build it. Just put it together and make it work somehow, some way.
So you're,
eventually.
You're patient.
They have some young...
You're exhibiting patience despite the fact that, what was it, like 2 months ago, there was conversation about winning the draft lottery, getting Zion Williamson, and then teaming him with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
I'm not saying that I was not a dreamer thinking that Kevin Durant was going to the New York Knicks, and I know I made that prediction on the show, but once Kevin Durant got hurt, I was out. Soon as he tore the Achilles, I'm out. I'm done.
You didn't want Kevin Durant.
After he tore the Achilles?
Correct.
Done.
Wait, hold on a second. So you're telling me if Kevin Durant said, I desperately want to play for the Knicks, you would not sign him after the Achilles injury?
I like how you threw that. I like how you threw that line in there. I desperately want to play for the I'm passing.
If Kevin Durant expressed that he wanted to play for the New York Knicks and you ran the Knicks, you would not sign Kevin Durant. That's what you just said.
I'm sitting there saying with the injury, the Achilles injury that he just suffered, we're going to miss him for a year. I'm kind of passing.
Wow. Because I can understand.
Like, good luck to the Nets.
I can understand you having a few reservations about how he'll return from the injury. But
oh, he's going to be great when he comes back.
You just mentioned how bad the Knicks have been in perpetuity. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah. A generational talent wants to join us. One of the great scorers in NBA history. Yeah. You know what? Oh, I don't know that Achilles. That kind of gets in the way.
No, I want him now. If he was healthy, I want him.
We all want him. But, like,
so I,
you're
no,
passing.
No, build it right now. And the last show we did together, Memorial Day, I told you I was no longer on the Kyrie Irving bandwagon. I'm not on that bandwagon anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that Kevin Durant may have made a mistake teaming up with Kyrie Irving. He maybe should have listened to Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you on that, but the fact that you say if you ran the Knicks and Durant wanted to come, you'd say no? I thought your R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson take was bad. You were off to an epically bad start to today's show. We're just an hour in. A little bit later on, we are going to get to Troy's free agency predictions, which we made.
Oh, we don't have to do that because no one had that right. So, like, I think this is a mulligan.
Oh, save it, okay?
This is like a mulligan.
We'll get to it.
Like, no one got this right.
What? The one?
No one.
The Kawhi thing?
The Kawhi thing. Like, I didn't think he was going back home.
You made predictions on a bunch of the players.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. We'll get to that a little bit later. Coming up next, we'll kick off the 3 o'clock hour. Troy, you've already referenced
this. We did an hour already?
We did. You already referenced this. A monumental moment in sports history
Yes. Happened
9 years ago today. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll relive that memory next here on QAM.